things around now. Get set up. New year. Goodness, new year. I need that. I'll need this. January. New theme. Wake up to spirit. New talk. Wake up. Wake up. You know, when my children were young, when little guys, when they were going to elementary school, I would get up earlier, way earlier before they did. And then I would get ready and shower and change and start getting breakfast ready. And then I would go into their rooms and I would wake them up so that they had plenty of time to eat breakfast and then get dressed and we could get them off, walk to school or whatever, drop them off at school. And so I would go into their room and I would go over to them really gently and I'd say, wake up, it's a happy new day. Happy new day is waiting for you. Wake up, wake up. And it was a gentle way of just nudging them awake and just talking to them really quietly. Because what I was told was, what I had read somewhere, that the way you wake up in the morning can set the tone for the whole day. So I thought, you know, what a great thing to do, to just have that gentle, easy awakening. You know, instead of a jarring, buzzing alarm clock, you know, screaming in your ear, setting the tone for the day, it would be a nice, soft, and loving thing. My God, think about it. Even the name of it, alarm clock, it's an alarm clock. You wake up, you're alarmed, you know? And I thought, holy moly, why would you want to wake up like that? Why would you want to wake up to something like this? Right? That is so not the way you want to wake up in the morning. So I thought, gentle, quiet, and it can set the tone for the whole day, right? Anything other than that is shocking, alarming. It is alarming. And what happens is when you get alarmed awake like that, what happens? Fight or flight, right? The adrenaline kicks in right away. Boy, you're startled awake as if, something's happening. It's alarming. And that fight or flight, that is actually what's called an acute stress response. And in your acute stress response, the body's sympathetic nervous system is activated with a sudden release of hormones. And what happens is it triggers, you know, the adrenal glands. There is a release of catecholamines. There is adrenaline. There is a whole series of hormones will be triggered. And as a result, your heart rate goes up, your eyes are dilated, your blood pressure goes up, your breathing rate is increased. And it takes 20 to 60 minutes for us to get back to that resting state. Is that the way you want to wake up? Now, we want to wake up, but that's no way to get out of bed. I mean, that's just no way to start your day. So we are here to awaken. Absolutely. We are here to awaken today. But we're not going to do it like that, you know? That's just too alarming. It's just too alarming. So what we're here to wake up to right now is we're here to awaken to our magnificent selves. We are here to awaken to our magnificence. We stand here today, as we do every single day, with one foot in each world. You know, we are spirits. The truth of us is we are spiritual. That's it. We are 100% spirits, and we exist in a spiritual realm which is subject to spiritual laws. And we have also taken human form. And because we have taken human form, we are subject to natural physical laws. So we are both and. We are both and. We have one foot in each thing. So our spiritual nature insists that we grow, insists that we grow beyond our self-imposed limitations of our human self. Our spiritual side, our spiritual nature that knows of us as these immortal beings insists that we grow and expand and explore and experience everything that life has to offer. And our human side goes, whoa, 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 hang on a second. Not so fast. Is it dangerous? Is it going to get me killed? Is it safe? Is my body going to be okay? Am I going to get hurt? That human self, that part of us, is very concerned with keeping us well, keeping us alive, and keeping us safe. So here is that dynamic tension, right? You have this immortal side. You have this spiritual center. You know what Emerson called that seed of perfection nestled within us, that spiritual body that knows no death, that knows it is ageless, deathless, timeless, and immortal. And it's just wanting to expand and express and experience everything that that life has to offer, the highs and the lows and everything in between. We have the desire to go beyond our physical limitations. We want to experience it all, everything that life has to offer. And that human nature part of us is going, yeah, but we want to do it safely, right? Yeah, but we want to do it safely. We desperately want to remain safe, stay put. You know, we want to ensure, we want to hedge our bets. Yeah, we want to grow, but we want to make sure that we're okay and that we're safe. We want to desperately remain safe inside of our bodies. So we're always wavering, right? Between that courageousness, between fear and desire. We're always wavering back and forth between fear and desire, between going or staying put, between knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold them. I don't know. You know what I mean, right? I mean, we're always trying to make that balance. What to do, right? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "For it is only the finite that has wrought and suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose." And that's us, both of those, the finite and the infinite. Our spiritual nature knows the truth of us, that we are birthless, deathless, timeless, immortal beings. But we are housed in a temporary shell. That is the truth of us. We're housed in a temporary shell. This has got an expiration date. That's all there is to it. Everyone's got an expiration date. But the truth of us, we are timeless, immortal beings. And if we believe that, if we really believed that, what would we do with our lives? And those are the questions that we ask, right, at the beginning of the year like this. What would we do with that? Those are the kind of questions, by the way, we ask in classes that we teach. And I know we have classes coming up, foundations. And in fact, financial freedom. It's one of the questions we ask in financial freedom. And if you haven't had the opportunity to allow a class to transform your life, do it now. Do it this term. Really do it and surrender to it and allow a class to transform your life. We ask questions like that. What would you do if money were no object? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What kinds of choices would you make? Different choices would you make? If you knew you couldn't fail. Miles Davis said, I got the quote right here, wait a minute. Miles Davis said, "Do not fear mistakes, there are none." That takes the pressure off, doesn't it? But we fear there are, right? We fear that there are mistakes that we can make, traps we can fall into and blunders that we can commit, but there aren't. But in order to save ourselves from that, we start collecting data, don't we? As humans, we do that all the time. We collect, we analyze, we file away statistics and facts and tendencies and anecdotes about everything in the world, including ourselves, so that we know the answers to everything. So we think that if we're informed, we're safe, right? We are informed, we're safe. And it does that. When we start collecting facts and data, and I like this, and I don't like that, and this is good, and that's bad, and we do this our whole lives, and we start collecting all this data so that we know things, so that we can keep ourselves safe, but it also keeps ourselves small. Because when you collect all that data, when you know yourself so well, you don't stretch outside of what you know. So then that impossible goes beyond your reach. You know, we start making all rules about ourselves because we know ourselves so well. I know I don't like this, so I don't do it anymore. I know I don't like that. I'm not even going to try that. So we don't even know what's beyond our reach after a while. That knowing of ourselves becomes our little prison. And then we stop stretching beyond that. I know myself so well, blah, 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 right? That we stop trying new things. We limit the magnificent self by knowing ourselves too well. We limit our magnificent selves by tying ourselves to what? Our birth order, our horoscope chart, that's a laugh, our country of origin, our culture, our gender. We limit ourselves by pigeonholing ourselves all into this kind of stuff. When we know ourselves like, oh no, I'm a this, I'm not a that, right? It pigeonholes us into a smaller and a smaller and smaller confines. And so our knowledge of ourselves becomes the prison of ourselves. And Ernest Holmes said this. He said, if you have ever believed, and I can't stress this too much. He didn't say that, I just said that. Okay. Ernest Holmes said, if you have ever believed the stars govern you, or that your environment governs you, or that opportunities govern you, recognize this as an hypnotic condition into which you have fallen. Okay? You know, I'm an Aries with a Taurus rising, so I'm stubborn, and I just don't adapt well to change, and I blah, 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 you know? I'm a firstborn, so I'm humorless, and I lead the way, blah, 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 blah. I'm a baby, so I don't take anything seriously. Well, that one's true. No, I'm only kidding. No. I happen to be a baby. Here's the thing. It's just so much BS. I'm sorry. It just is. It's a way to limit the magnificence of ourselves. Right? I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that. I can't do that. Oh no, I'm a this. You know, it's like all it does is limit us. You know, I'm an Aries with a Taurus rising or a triple whatever, and so that's why I behave so badly. You know what? No, maybe you're just an ass. You know, maybe you just need to change what you're doing. You know, I mean, that's just really the way to come on. Let's not kid ourselves. And here's the thing. I don't want to, you know, criticize horoscopes or anything, but even if those characteristics around horoscopes or around the lines in your palm or whatever it happens to be, even if those things have tendencies, even if there's a scant bit of information you can glean from those things, they are just still tendencies. They're just still tendencies. They are not truth with a capital T. They are not the truth of us. They are things we use to limit ourselves. They're really just acceptable excuses for unacceptable behavior. That's all. So what we need to do is go beyond these self-imposed limitations, because we're the ones that are putting them on ourselves. Yeah, so you might resonate with something. It may sound familiar, and you may look at that and go, yeah, that kind of sounds like me. But it's not meant to stop you. It's not meant to define you. Maybe it's meant to point the way to a healing that you need to have. So our fears are just like that. You know, our fears are the same thing. Our fears are to point the way to the healing. We're not here to collect our fears and then live with them, live within the confines of them. They restrict us. They keep us small. Oh, I'm afraid of flying, so I'm never going to get on a plane. Oh, really? How about I'm afraid of flying, so I'm going to get over it? You know, do I have to bring my snake back again? How many of you raised your hands last time, right? Oh God, don't bring the snake. I brought the snake. You saw it, you felt it, you touched it. It's a snake. There's nothing, you know, I asked if anybody was really going to run screaming from the room, I wouldn't take it out. But the fact is, those fears are places where we need to heal. They're not things for us to collect over the lifetime and own and put our names on them. They're things for us to get over. We are here to identify them, to transform them, to rise above them, to express the magnificence that we are, not to stay caged inside of our small selves with our small beliefs and collecting our small fears. We are here to live the limitless life of spirit and form, as limitless as we can be. We are spirit in form. That is the 100% truth of us, is that we are spirits. And we are housed in a body. And that spirit is whole, perfect, and complete. So we have to wake up to that. We are 100% spirit. Act like it, right? And not the afraid, small human person that we convince ourselves that we are. We have to wake up to who we truly are. We are not our horoscope. We are not our ethnic identity. We are not our gender. We are 100% spirit in form. You are spirit who has taken on form for the purpose of expressing whatever it is that is your desire to express. Spirit didn't put you in form and given you a desire to express and then go, no, but you can't do it. Nope, but not you. You're not capable. That's not what spirit is about. You are here to find the calling of your heart, to express fully and completely, to go beyond your self-imposed limitations, to outgrow those things that you boxed yourself in with, those definitions, those defining things, and those fears. You are here to break through them and to live the life of the magnificent spiritual being that you are. Stop telling your higher self that you can't. You absolutely can. We have to wake up to it, though. We have to wake up. So I was reading this article the other day. 10 ways, I'm really serious, 10 ways to jumpstart your bodybuilding resolutions. Guns. Okay, I'll just read anything that's in front of me. Really, this is the point. I just read anything. So I was reading this bodybuilding magazine because I read everything. And this article was 10 ways to jumpstart your bodybuilding resolutions. Now, as I'm reading it, and I'm reading these 10 ways, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is great stuff. Now, I'm not a bodybuilder. I have no intentions of being a bodybuilder. But when you read the bigger picture of these 10 things, it wasn't about bodybuilding resolutions. It was about life resolutions. It was about life building, not bodybuilding, when you looked at the big picture. So I want to share it with you. This was Shannon, what's her name? Shannon Clark wrote this article. And when I read through it, I went, oh my God, this is great advice. And it's bigger than just bodybuilding. It's life-building stuff. So her first one said, set performance-related goals. And set performance-related goals in her article meant, you know, get your numbers of weights in a row. You know, start with fives, go to tens. Show some measurable way you can show that you're getting better. And so, you know, she's talking about numbers on the scale. She's talking about weights that she's lifting or numbers of reps that they're doing or whatever. I don't know. But I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you know, that she's really right. Set performance-related goals. And so by that, we can expand that to say, you know, how long am I meditating today? I meditate for 10 minutes. So maybe I'll go to 12. Maybe I'll go to 15. Set measurable performance numbers for yourself. Do I meditate 15 minutes, then I'll go to 20. Do I pray once a day? I'll pray twice a day, whatever. Set some milestones that you can really account for. If you want to lose weight, I mean, sure, we can do that too, right? But make it reasonable. You know, make it reasonable. Like I said, if you're going to meditate for 10 minutes, I'll do 12, or maybe I'll do 15. You know, if I want to, say lose 40 pounds by Friday because I got a date, baby, ain't happening. You know, but if I want to lose 12 pounds by the end of the year, you know, it's a reasonable thing. So set some performance-related goals. Number two, build a foundation. And she was talking about those little things that support the big changes. And we do that also, right? I mean, that's what we do with life goals. Absolutely, we need to meditate, we need to pray, we need to vision, we need to engage in activities that bring us closer to and not farther away from our goals. So build a strong foundation, and with a strong foundation, with all of these tools in your tool belt, you build a strong foundation, and then you can rise as high as you want. And her number three was change in stages. Change in stages, and we're on the same page with this one, because don't we always say, keep the big goal in mind? Keep the big goal out in front of you, but do the little teeny tiny penguin steps. The change comes in little teeny tiny steps. And give yourself credit for those little tiny steps. We don't go from 0 to 100, we go to 0 to 2, maybe 3. So give yourself the credit for those little steps. And 4, motivate yourself. I love this one. Motivate yourself with progress pictures. Now, of course, she was talking about all those gigantic muscle men pictures, you know? Those Charles Atlas seal of approval things, you know, like this and like that, right? I mean, that's really what she had, you know, all over her, you know, her workout area, all these big pictures of whatever. We have vision boards. Same thing, same idea. Create a vision board, create a visual representation of that goal, whatever that is, as if it is already yours, as if we've already gotten there, right? Your future life or your future career or your future, you know, spouse or whatever. We make vision boards. It's the same thing. Keep that goal before you. And then you take the little teeny tiny steps. Number five, educate yourself. And she had said, when she was talking about educate yourself, know the latest diets, know the latest, you know, accessories, supplements, you know, vitamins, things like that. Okay, whatever. But for us, it means take a class. Take a class, read a book, socialize with those people that support your and enhance your spiritual life. Go to a workshop. Keep before you all the ways it is possible for you to grow. All the ways it's possible for us to expand and live that greater life of spirit. Always keep those things in your vision. And she, number six, she said, buddy up. Absolutely, buddy up. Grab somebody who has the same goals that you do. I want to meditate more. Great, let's do it together. I want to pray more. Great, let's do it over the phone. Find someone to buddy up with, because normally what happens is when you're not motivated, they are. Do you ever have that with your workout friends? When you just really don't feel like going to the gym, they want to. And then you drag yourself anyway. And then the same thing happens in reverse. You're all excited and they're like, oh, no, but go anyway. Buddy up. Find someone with the same or similar goals and just do it. Just do it. And number seven, she said, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Now that's really all it means. It just means hydrate. Look, we're 70% water. Keep yourself hydrated. Because we get tired because we're thirsty. We get headaches because we're thirsty. We get leg cramps because we're thirsty. We just don't realize we're thirsty. Yes, so drink all the water. You know, our bodies run on water, so keep them wet. Well, you know what I mean. Number eight, hire a trainer. Now, I cannot stress this one enough, and I said it at the beginning of service. Find yourself a practitioner. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. You deserve this. Find a practitioner. Open up the bulletin. Pick one off the list. Find the one that you loved the way they prayed. Call them. Set up a session with them. Set up a series of sessions. Sign a contract for a year. For phone calls once a month or once every other week or whatever. Whatever works. And get yourself a practitioner. Get someone who knows the truth for you when you've temporarily forgotten it. This is the person that prays with you whether or not you're asking. They're just simply praying. They are knowing the wholeness of you. They know the wholeness, and that's what they do. Pick one up. Have someone in your corner all the time that knows the truth for you, that is always praying for you, that always knows your highest and best good. Number nine, she said, throw out the scale. I kind of agree with her on that one. Literally, throw out your scale. But also, any other devices that you own that you use to beat yourself up with. Because that's really all a scale is. It's just a way to beat ourselves up. So comparing, keeping score, judging, whatever you do to make yourself feel bad, stop it. Stop it. Throw it out. We don't need to make ourselves feel bad. We don't need to compare ourselves with anybody else's journey. We don't know anybody else's journey. This is ours. So throw out your scale. And number 10, and this is something that really resonated with me also. She said, don't program hop. And by that, she was talking about exercise programs. You know, you start with this person because this book is so great and it's going to, you know, get you in shape and lose weight in a minute. And then you switch to another program, and then you switch to another program because another book comes out. And she was talking about exercise programs. And she put it this way, which I really loved. She said, if you have three or more recipes for chocolate chip cookies, and each one of them gets you really, really good chocolate chip cookies, but when we start combining all of the ingredients of all three different recipes, you're going to get something, but it may not be a good chocolate chip cookie. And I really feel that way in New Thought a lot, because we tend to be open to the latest and the greatest, right? Ernest Holmes said we're open at the top, and a lot of people thought that that meant, gee, anything that comes along is great. But really, what you can benefit by And the way we can grow deeper and the way that we can expand more and the way that we can commit to real transformation is by practicing and giving the time and attention to one practice and allowing it to transform us. I remember when I was in ministerial school, Reverend Alice Bandy was the dean, and she had said, you know, all the work that we give you to do, the tests and the papers and the readings and the books and all that stuff you have to hand in, that's just stuff to keep your body busy while your mind transforms, while your soul does the work of transformation. And that's what our spiritual life is about. It's about going deeper and deeper and deeper to do the work of transformation. So I made up these little brochures. Edward Villune did this from Santa Rosa. It is the Science of Mind textbook in a year. This is a perfect way to take one spiritual practice and go the distance with it. Take it as deep as you want to. Go all year long. And it's the entire textbook in 1 year. See, it tells you everything, all the little, what to read every day for a whole year. We bounce from spiritual practice to spiritual practice to spiritual practice, or when we bounce from one faith tradition to another, we remain beginners. We're always beginners. So pick a practice, stick with it, allow yourself to go deep with it, allow it to transform you. Because it is time to wake up to our divinity. It is time to throw off those self-imposed limitations. It is time to redefine ourselves by getting rid of all of the definitions that limit us. It is about time to face your fears and tell them to, wow, get lost. It is time to face your fears and tell them to get lost. It is time to claim your inheritance, to know exactly who you are. And not be limited by the fear, by the self-imposed whatever, by the false belief. It is time to stop sleepwalking through life. Claim our magnificence. Claim the spiritual being that we are. Throw off the moorings and the anchors. Every single day, take time to listen to that still, small voice inside of you that is whispering, wake up, it's a happy new day. It's a happy new day just for you. Wake up. Thank you. Thank you for in the back.